Welcome to more coverage of the Oklahoma FFA Convention 2014, a service of your Oklahoma Ford dealers. Ford, best in Oklahoma. And FFA says a big thank you to your Oklahoma Ford dealers as they are platinum sponsors this year of the FFA Convention. And today we're hearing from the National Regional Vice President from the Western Region of National FFA Organization, Jason Wetzler, who's in the middle of a magical ride around this country and outside the country as well as a National FFA officer, as a spokesman, and as an ambassador of the blue and gold. I know this is just one of many, many stops at state meetings and local FFA encounters around the country thus far this year, right?
Well, you know, yeah, we'll make a lot of visits to some places, but in my opinion, while it may be one of many stops, you got to treat it as one of a kind. And I think that if I wouldn't, I think I'd be kind of cheating the FFA members I'm serving and kind of cheating myself out of some opportunities of a lifetime. I mean, I really value every experience I get. So, yeah, one of many stops. This will be my fourth convention out of nine I'll go to this year. But once again, I value my time here in Oklahoma, I think, just as much, if not more, than any I'm getting.
Obviously, this is one of the larger conventions around the country, and it mimics in a lot of ways some of the things that you'll be experiencing as an officer this coming October in Louisville.
Yeah, that's right. I came from New Hampshire at this convention, and they had about 350 people at their whole convention. I mean, it was a lot of fun. Got to meet just about everyone there and really build a lot of friendships there. But here I'll have about 350 people in my workshop. So, yeah, it definitely gets you prepared on both ends of the spectrum. Oklahoma, about 13,000 people at the session. It'll be a lot of fun giving a keynote tomorrow with that kind of atmosphere. So,
tell me a little bit about as you went through the process of deciding, I want to run. I want to be a national officer. Mm-hmm. And as you heard your name called this past October in Louisville on the stage, what's really gone on in your life? What have you really experienced thus far as a national officer?
You know, a lot of people don't know this about me. Both my parents are ag teachers, and I wanted to be a national officer since I was about 10 years old before I even knew what that meant. And I ran twice. So the first year, I had that moment where my name wasn't called, right? And so that actually probably created more change in my life than the moment when my name was called. And of course, I have some little changes now, and maybe I'm not seeing them yet. But this last October, when my name was called, and it was like November 1st, so I guess November, when my name was called, it was a surreal moment for me. You know, about 11 years of work and people pouring into me and helping me get there came to fruition. And the things that have changed, really, I would say, It's challenged me in a lot of ways. I really had to challenge my why and my why. I mean, why I do what I do every single day, and that's just ultimately to serve people and to serve God. So,
what really went through your mind when you heard and didn't hear your name called in 2012? I guess.
You know, I was heartbroken. I was ready to go back to Stillwater and kind of just be a regular kid, and that's actually exactly what I did. I went back to Stillwater and actually separated myself from the FFA. And so at that moment when I realized I wasn't going to be a national officer and maybe not even going to run again, I just threw myself into serving other people outside of the FFA, and I found myself in Oklahoma City at food banks I had tornado relief projects going on. I had different things in Tulsa I was trying to do, and then back home in my hometown in Portland as well, trying to fulfill people's needs there. And so that was really, really probably one of the best things that could happen to me, because I learned what service was outside of the FFA and how real it can be. So,
what have you learned through the process of wanting to be a national officer and now being a national officer? What have you learned about the width and breadth of FFA?
Well, I'll tell you what, I always like to say this, the FFA is the ladder we're climbing, it's not the platform we're standing on as FFA members, and we have to remember that eventually we're going to take that blue jacket off, and the things that we learn in the FFA, they're awesome, because you can employ them in so many different ways. Now, if we say the FFA is the end-all be-all, I'm doing this because of the FFA, or I want to run for an office because of the FFA, well, I think we're wrong as FFA members. What we need to realize is we're going to do this to gain the skills to serve people in this role in our lives later on. Eventually, we're going to take off that jacket. We got to remember that service and those values and ideals we learn in the FFA, they can be applied in whatever jacket we're wearing.
At this point, you know, maybe it's almost a redundant question in some ways, but what's FFA really meant to you, son of an ag teacher, ag teachers?
That's a good question. I would say FFA means that we have a strong future in agriculture. I think without the FFA, and I say this a little pretentiously, being representative of it, but I think our world would be at a loss if we did not have the FFA. I think there'd be less people that know about agriculture, be passionate about agriculture, and that'd be going into agriculture. I truly believe that this generation of FFA members is going to be the one that will feed 9 billion people by 2050.
Regarding the challenge of FFA members stepping up to all different facets of agriculture, how do you believe, in other words, you have a belief, and I know that you're interested in maybe even being an ag teacher as a part of your career. How do we get from that point? How do we motivate the young people involved with these blue and gold jackets to do what you just said?
I think agriculture is something everyone can jump on board with. I think it's not an industry that's exclusive. We're all inclusive, all welcoming to all people, all kinds. And I think being from Portland, Oregon, going to Stillwater, America, that's something I've seen firsthand, whether that's urban ag or not. And so I think just allowing people to realize how much potential there is in being a farmer or an agriculturalist, and whether that means being a scientist or growing your own food, whatever it is, and just getting people excited about that. For me, I just get excited thinking about growing food. I get excited thinking about educating people about food. And so I think the more that we can just get people passionate and on board with agriculture, whether that means organic, urban, or large production corporate farms, and whatever that means, I think whatever agriculture means to them, when you get them on board with it.
Do you feel that you can have a role in some improvement of ag literacy in this country?
I would sure hope so. I think that's my job every day when I wake up as an agriculturalist. I think we all need to have a role in improving agricultural literacy. My goal would be to work in informal agriculture education, right? Educating adults within the city of Portland about agriculture so they can stop misinforming their kids, my friends, about agriculture and agricultural practices. So, yeah, I'd hope I could have a difference.
Hoping to make a difference. That is the National Western Region VP of the FFA organization, Jason Wetzler from Oregon, also a student at Oklahoma State University. Before his time as a national FFA officer, he plans to get back to Stillwater and resume his career at OSU in January of 2015. Our coverage of the FFA convention, a service of your Oklahoma Ford dealers, Ford, best in Oklahoma. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.